suit, but he has a story. So concentrate on the message. Leave the suit alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Hi, Brother Max. God bless you. You are laughing. Glory be to God. Amen. It's a teaching message that will be a series, maybe one or two more series of it, as the Lord permits. Because the important part of this message will not be for today. The most important part of it will come later on. But I want you to pay attention, and the Lord will bless your heart. It's a topic that affects every one of us. It's a topic that we deal with a lot. Unfortunately, we do not teach more of it, and it creates problems when we don't know what to do in the face of conflicts and resolution, God's way. This is the topic of the message, conflicts and resolution, God's way. Amen? I don't know how many people here who can tell me they have not been in conflict. Some of these conflicts can so that you don't see it, but it is there in the family, in the business, in your place of work, in different area, among friends, among brethren. So today will be a general topic in the sense of I'm going to bring certain categories of conflict. And then by as God gives us grace, next time we may deal with the spiritual and practical ways to avoid and resolve conflicts. Many friendships have been torn apart because of conflict. A bunch of marriage has been torn apart because of conflict. Marriages have been destroyed because of conflicts. And if you look back at times, some of this could be resolved if only you know how to approach it God's way. A wise man notices things about themselves, about myself, and also notices things about others. You don't notice it to make accusation, to rile on them or to hate them, but you notice it to take care and to be able to understand what is behind these actions. Most conflicts are not resolved because we don't look at what is behind it. We just see the outward, the practical emotion that is being evolved. But if you're able to look at what is behind, I'm not talking of Satan behind, I'm talking of what is actually behind that outburst of emotion. And you're able to understand it and deal with it, then conflict may be resolved. So that's the part we're going to go later on in the discussion of tongue conflict. Some marriages, friendship are hanging by the thread because of conflict, even in the household of God. So let us pay attention, as I say. Let nothing distract you. Just let's listen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Conflict is what Satan, his agents, initiates. I say initiates, not fulfill. You, me, humankind, are the one that actually bring conflict to bear. But Satan and his agents are the one that initiate conflict. And if you are wise, when the conflict is being initiated in your mind, in your soul, or whatever realm that the enemy is coming, bringing it across, if you can put a stop to it, then it will not evolve to fulfillment. So he initiates, you feel it. You can blame him, or you can blame yourself, or the other person. Resolution is what the Holy Spirit does through me and you to resolve the issue. It could be in such a way that it is limited in nature. Or it can be a complete resolution. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when conflict is evolving, you have the mandate from the Holy Spirit to stop it. But you have to stop it God's way. I want us to pray. No, I had a revelation a few days ago about certain things, and it troubled me on this area. And if God allows me, I'll bring it out. If not, I will just pray on my own. Satan is doing his best to merge the world into major conflict. And individual lives also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where conflict exists, peace is limited or non-existent. Don't pretend to yourself and your family, once there are conflicts, you can try to cover it up or bury it or whatever, but once there is conflict, there is no total peace. It may be limited in nature, or it may be non-existent altogether. As we evolve, we ask our question later on, should we bury conflict or resolve it? Should we sweep it under the carpet it to bear? Should we confront it or be cowardly and back away from it? Should we look at it and say, this conflict needs to be dealt with? We look at God's way later on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What the Holy Spirit does through me and you is to bring resolution in conflict. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that solution. I want to tell us this morning that conflict did not just start yesterday. It has been in existence since of the world. In fact, it was in existence even in the heavens. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, he started to speak of Lucifer, the morning, son of the morning. God had to throw him out of the heavens because of conflict. He's a covering angel full of anointing and power and great position in the realm of the Almighty God. And because of his beauty and pride and God has made him to be, he started to think that he can supplant and be like the Almighty. And God booted him out of heaven. One comedian said, God, why do you have to kick him down to earth? If you can't deal with it over there, how do you think we can manage over here? And I say, well, that may be a reasoning, but God did what he has to do. So Satan was booted out of heaven and down here because of conflict. He's still continuing with that mindset to set up conflict among brethren, among people, among marriages, among friends, among nations. In another area, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, the same ancient dragon say, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that ancient serpent. And the dragon and his angels fought back. Conflict in the heavenlies. It's not just on earth. I want to lay that background so that when we go deeper into this, you'll find out that conflict is an ancient foe to mankind. It's established for a purpose. And in each level, if you don't diffuse it and resolve it, it will be there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There was this drama that I saw many years. It's about the Montagues and the Copleys, Romeo and Juliet. The part of thing that conflict does is to leave bitter roots. When I'm talking of bitter roots, I'm talking of roots that is so deep into the ground that it's hard to uproot it. And when those roots are not uprooted and destroyed, at times it becomes a generational conflict. Our great-grandfather entered into a conflict, is passed down to the fathers, it passed down to the father, passed down to the children, and the children pass it to the next generation. The root is so bitter and deep at times that even some generation don't even know how it started, but they still continue in that conflict. Romeo and Juliet was a product that was destroyed by bitter roots that was set in conflict way before they were born. The end of it is tragedy. And we pray that God will not allow it to be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. There are different types of conflict. We look at the global conflicts. We look at the conflict in the church. And then the area we are going to really look at, not in detail this time, but later on, when God permits, is the interpersonal conflict. The level of between you and I. Friend and friend, brethren and brethren, wife and husband, business partners, teams. We get into that when God gives grace. But look at global conflict, the damages and destruction it has caused. World War One. I looked it up. 9.7 million people, military, died. And 10 million civilians. And you say, why does the devil do this? Because there is a harvest of souls for him that are not prepared to meet their maker. 70, 80, 90% of these 19.7 million that died in World War One are people that probably have not given their life to Christ. Young men and young women pulled from their home, assigned to go to war, given a machete, a gun, or whatever they have to kill and be killed. That is conflict. World War II, 35 million, the population of California or more, times two. They say 35 to 60 million perished, both military and civilians, in conflicts. Satan and his angels and cohorts are rejoicing and harvesting souls that are not prepared to meet God. Some Christian family children are drafted, unbelievers are drafted, people across the world are drafted to go and fight in this war. While we are in one another's throat. And the worst part of it, the tragedy part of it, is that these souls are lost forever to God. Ukraine and Russia. 280,000 or more going. We are still in that war. Go check the people that are being destroyed, younger generations that are not prepared to meet their God. I looked at the war in my own country when I was born, the Biafran War, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, 2 to 4 million of the Biafran children, for which I would have been one of those, died of starvation in that war. I was born in that time. If you look at it, there is this particular disease that developed because of lack of salt. There was an embargo. They don't allow anything to come through. It's called kwashiorkor. Their stomach protrudes and they die. Many of us, like me, suffered from that, but for God's grace, I wouldn't have been doing what I did for God or for myself That is what war conflict does on the level of the global levels. Satan uses it to reap harvest of souls that are not prepared to meet their maker. So when we do this, let us not take it, let us be praying against it, let us be asking God to intervene, because the target is souls. We are still talking about the global level. A few days ago I was reading, and America predicts there's a super war coming in 2025 between the United States and China. How many of us read it in the news or saw it? Yes, sister, thank you. They are already ramping up. They are already calling the calls for war and to be, and that is the case that we are facing. Can somebody come and take this phone from me? I don't know. Please come and take it. Thank you. They are already calling for war. China started sending their what? Balloons already. Going around us, taking pictures. We haven't even started. It was in the news. Maybe you saw it or not. Balloons was everywhere. They just shot one down a few days ago again. When they are predicting like that, it's already happening in their mind. Satan is already giving incentive why you should fight the war, why this war should go ahead. But look at the danger of it is that we are no more talking of World War I or World War II, where they have, you have to pull up a gun that shoot maybe 4, 10, 20. We are now talking of nuclear armaments. America have about 5,000 or so of it. China have hundreds of it. Russia, thousands of it. Few of these can take out a whole portion of the United States. And there's no defense against it. This is what we are trying to avoid. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now we have conflict within the church. The conflict within the church, if we go into different conflict we have seen from the time of the first church, the apostle, the Acts to now, will be days in talking about it. Conflicts. But let us just look at the church that was just a new minted church. The Acts of Apostle. The beginning of this movement. There was a conflict that would have put a stop to this word of God if not handled in wisdom immediately by the apostles. Recently filled with the Holy Spirit and baptism of fire, you would think that everything will go well. No! The enemy came with conflict, circumcision ideology, the Mosaic law. They started fighting among themselves. Everybody should be circumcised. You have to be a Jew to be a Christian, and so on and so forth and so on, until God by his grace resolved it through the wisdom of God on the apostles. They have to go to a special meeting, if you read the history, to be able to resolve it. The whole intention of the enemy is to hinder the progress of the word of God. If you read that chapter at the end, I say, but the word of God prospered at the end of it. If not that conflict was resolved, then we wouldn't have what we have today. Right on top of it, there was murmuring in the church again by the Grecian women, the widows who felt they were neglected from the food sharing, the social aspect of the church that ministers food to the widows and to the Hebrews. They came out and said, hey, what is going on here? You guys are taking care of the Hebrews better than the Grecians. Are we not part of the same fold and so on and so forth? There was murmuring. And God says, the apostles prayed, consulted with the Holy Spirit and said, know what? You go and set up 7 men of the Holy Spirit and wisdom so that they can tackle this issue. Why we give ourselves over to prayer and studying of the word of God. We're not going to come to share bread, but you find a way. Get 7 people. Among those 7 is Stephen. And then there is the Christian we are not neglected. They make sure that at least 1 or 2 or 3 people in that 7 are among the Christians. And that is how God quelled that conflict that will have divided the beginning of the ministry of Christ when he handed it to the apostles, to the children of God. And he said that after this, the word of God prospered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Interpersonal conflict is conflict between person and person, individuals, members, friends, family. When I talk of family, I'm talking of at times between father and children, between children and mother, and so on and so forth, between man and wife. This interface is so important that we should avoid it and as much as possible resolve it if it comes up. Because what does it do when there is conflict in the family? The two that are supposed to be together are now what? Divided. And what happens when you are divided? Your prayers, intercession are no more what? Effective. And if you go outside God's way to resolve it, what most of the time you resolve it is you resolve it with the worry way. That means destruction. You go to Katie, your friend, and tell them when they don't have the wisdom of God. Or Google Kim Kardashian to give you the solution to problem that you has no idea how to handle. Everybody is now a professional counselor when their own life is complete mess. Looked up one day, Kim Kardashian is advising people on marriage. Say wonderful. Tell me what you are going to get out of that. Yeah? So there are people who fit into this category, and I want us to watch into these categories of people. Because we're not discussing solution today. We're going to bring out something that I want you to relate with. And when we bring out solution, then you can tag into it and God help you. I learn, every one of us learn from our mistakes, from our failures. There are things I did and say in the past that till today, when I remember it, I shake. Say, how did I even open my mouth and say, do such thing? It hurt people. But that is us. We are human beings. But thank God we are progressive. We are learning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Interpersonal conflict. Let's look at 133 verse 1. It tells of fellowship and brotherhood. It occurs between friends and between family. In marriages, with children, between workplace, friends and people you work with, and even among brethren. But behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That is God's intention in the house, for brethren to dwell together in unity. And you, me, every one of us are part of the instrument that God can use for us to be in unity. Some of us, rather, are instrument of division. Some of us are, rather, instrument of discord, sowing seed of discord. Some of us, when people bring problem to us, we go and tell every other person but God. Some of us, we don't know that the reason you are here is to be God's hand in helping one another and lifting each other up. But we learn. And I pray we learn fast in the mighty name of Jesus. Among this category are those who are perverse in nature. They live, they breathe conflict. You don't find this among Christians is mostly in the world. They live and breathe conflicts. They are agents. Anywhere they are, there have to be conflict. My God, I've met two people like that. One of them later tell me, where is your church? I want to come to your church. I say, no. Go find another church. I'm not kidding you. Say, I want to visit. I say, don't go. There's a church closer to where you live. Find church there. Say, why would I do that? I've given up. They sow conflict wherever they are. They come among friends, conflict will be there. They come in your family, conflict will be there. They come to a place of your work, there will be conflict. Proverbs 16:28, I believe, call them what they are. They are children of conflict. 16:28. Don't worry about it. They will be going to find out your problem, but not for them to help or to move you out of it, but to dig you into deeper hole. Brethren, don't associate with such. A frog and the soul strive. And the whisperer separate chief friends. Not just ordinary friends. Friends are for life. Once they come, they whisper one thing to the left, they say another to the right. Before you know it, John have said something different, and Rebecca have heard something different. Before you know it, there is division. And when that division is, it becomes where God cannot work because there's no peace. See that there's a limited peace, or peace is non-existent. Those are one of the types that I've noticed. There are those that shoot from the hip. I found this among Christians, among believers. And I find it among believers who thought they know it all, or they have reached to the point where they feel they are now so close to God that God can speak through them, and because of this, they don't monitor their words. The Bible called them out in James chapter 1, verse 19. They feel that they are oracle for God. Whereas the Bible says, beloved, whereof my beloved brethren, let every man is speaking to you be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. They are not slow to speak, and they hurt many people because they don't wait, think over what they are texting. They don't wait, think over what they are saying. They don't wait, think over what is coming out. They are now become so confident in their ability, in their closeness to God, in reading the Bible, having read it from A to Z 100 times, that they don't listen. They misjudge others completely, and many a time they could pull somebody down in their faith. I don't care how much spiritual you think you are. Check your word before you say it. Look at what you are about to say. I make that mistakes. So I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. Don't shoot from the hip. Shoot first and look later on. When you are sending that text on WhatsApp or whatever, read it again twice. Especially when you are answering something that is sensitive. Because once you hit the button, it is what? Sent. He said the word that comes out of our mouth cannot return back again. Once you speak it, it goes out. You don't recover it. So Christians, brethren, mature, spiritual, filled men of God, women and men of God, whatever you are, prophet or apostle or pastor, means your word. Moderate your word. Check it before you say it. I was standing behind another man of God the other day, and he said something completely crude to another person who is, he called him, come, bro. And say something to him. I look at him and say, my God, God have mercy on us. We have people like that. You are not that close to God as much as you think. And you can never be above the Almighty. Your wisdom is great. Your knowledge is wonderful. But check your words. Because you are not that perfect in your way that whatever comes to your mouth is an oracle of the Almighty. No, none of us have attained that level. We are trying. We are doing our best. We are fighting every day to get to that level. And God will give us grace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There are those who are multiple offenders. Of course, they will come and say, oh, I'm sorry I did that. Oh, sister, my friend, oh. And the next day, they do the same thing again. It's like the type, those type, the day you just get off work, or you are coming to work in the morning, and you know them in the offices. Usually when they are coming one way, you go the other side, so as not to meet them, because they will say something, they will just do something that will soil your day. You just finish your morning fellowship, dress up, put on your nice jacket for the winter suit and so whatever, and come on to work and open the elevator. There she is, Jane, that knows everybody's business. Hey, Emmanuel, buddy, how are you doing today? I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Oh, by the way, it looks like you put on some weight the past 2 weeks I saw you last. You just say something like that that would really soil your day, or make a comment that will just hit the mark that you don't want, and you have a bad day because of them. They're sowing conflict in your soul, your spirit. And when he does something like that, he walks right by you, smiling and waving, have no bad intention at all. It's in their character. There are ways to deal with such. We're going to bring it out. There's those that are going through pain. And because of the pain they are going through, I met this a lot of people, and I noticed it a lot in my line of work. When they are in this pain, they are in a hard place in life, they are distributing misery and conflict with all their action. You can never do anything to please them. But if you are conscious and walking in the love of God, you can look and see that, hey, my patient, she had 5 surgeries in a year. If you talk to them at times beyond what they are doing, what you are seeing, and you take the nature of God and approach them, you find out that due to this sudden world situation, trial that come and face them and they don't know how to handle it, that's why they are acting the way they are. They are in a lot of pain. Financial hardship, bankruptcy, up to date, this maybe it's a medical bill, whatever they are going through, situation in their life that they don't know how to handle, and this thing has created one problem, so much situation in their life that they are full of bitterness. They complain and blame everybody, including you, if you come within their target. But if you look closely, you see that it is because of their situation. And if you can talk them out of it through love and compassion, you have one soul for Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to go into many of these today. There are so many of them. The last one I'm going to talk about here is self-inflicted conflict. You fighting you. You creating conflict in your own life. At times because of unforgiveness. At times, many at times, I notice immaturity. I got a call 2-3 days ago. So I was preparing this message. By the way, I want to say to the praise, to the SWAT team, you guys know, at times you go and give out these tracks, and you don't know what it does. People actually call us with some of these tracks. In the past 2 weeks, how many calls have I received? One lady that is demonic, influenced, attacked, burdened. I think she's at a point of suicidal this day. She picked up the phone and called. The pastors rotate this schedule among us. I may be holding it for a few months. Pastor Yato, take over. Peter, take over. You know, this number and stuff. And people call in. And they call in with information, with care, with things that they are going through. And once I receive such call, I know you guys have labored in the field to go give out the tracts and minister to people. I put every call coming to me. No, if it's during the work time, I'm not going to take any call until I've spent time to deal with that issue. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Many a times people give their soul. So you might not have won the person to Christ. You may just give the track and walk away. But they call later on for one reason or the other when they have need. And we're able to close what you have started. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, she called 2 days ago. This conflict has been going on in her life. Tell you what I was writing. I'm about to preach. I'm preaching to you guys. Say, want to talk to somebody in this ministry? I say, yeah. Are you pastor? Yes. I am at a point I don't know what to do. I say, well, God will know what to do by his grace. I'm not going to go into detail because I'm looking at the time. The point is that for 8 years she has been in conflict with 2 other women and does not know how to resolve it, and this thing has become so a burden and torment on her. She doesn't know how to resolve it, and it's paining her, and she's blaming herself and taking all these dose of evil idea and bitterness in her that is self-consuming, self-destruction is about to set in. As a last resort, she picked up the phone and called. And in that 30 minutes of discussion, I believe God resolved her situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because she didn't know how to walk out of this situation. It will take somebody, maybe God's grace, to point her to the right direction. This is just 2 days ago. So I was preparing this message. She didn't initiate this message. Well, just when I was writing it, that she called in my office. So many of us live in a situation where we create conflict within ourselves. And that conflict is burning us from inside out. And it burns everybody around you. And it burns people who want to come close to you and love you. And it chases away good things in your life. Because you have not resolved the internal conflict that is in you. It could be from past sin or past mistake. It could be from error of the yesteryears that Christ in his mercy has already forgiven. But you are not able to forgive or let go. These are some of the areas of the conflict I want to bring out. Should we avoid resolution of conflict? Should we look at conflict and sweep it under the rug or keep quiet? How do we look at this scripturally? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. Matthew 5, 23, 24, please go ahead. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath owed conflict against thee, or you have conflict against your brother. Say, leave that thy gift before the altar and go thy way. Don't take away the gift. Leave it. But go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. God didn't say to sweep conflict under the rug. There is no conflict that will resolve himself. There's no conflict that will die away with time. There's no conflict that it may be buried to the point that it doesn't have the effect or feeling. But maybe for you, but not for the other person. Therefore, it behooves us as Christians to resolve it, Now there is an area we're going to go to in a few minutes where you can't do anything again. There's a point he gets to, you have done your part. Especially in case of repeat offenders. You may have to use certain wisdom to avoid it because there's no solution unless God delivers that person. So he says here, leave your gift in the altar and go settle a conflict and then come back and give it. James 3:18. James 3:18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, we're talking, I forgot the topic, the scripture topic for this message was Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Let's read that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Then let's go back to James 3:18. Blessed are the peacemakers. People that resolve conflicts are known as peacemakers, not only in Christendom, but in the world. United Nations peacemakers. But early 19th century, they formed the United Nations because country will just wake up and go to war and kill another person and just do. They say, you know what? Let's come together, United States, form a band of brothers, come together to fight this evil so that if anybody raise their head against anybody without justification, all of us are in it. Ukraine wouldn't be in this war today if they were already admitted into United Nations. Russia will think twice. Am I able to take up United States of America? Will I be able to fight against them combined with Europe, France, Germany? Am I going to take them with all these countries together? No. Unfortunately, Ukraine hasn't gotten into the United Nations. The same thing happens in the spiritual. When you bind together against conflict in prayer and in faith, there are certain conflicts you cannot resolve just by yourself. You need teamwork. You need people that think the same like you. And the Bible gave us instances of that. But we're not going to go into it. Blessed be the name of God. Amen? So conflict should not be swept under the carpet. It should be brought off. The purpose should be to diffuse, resolve, and restore. To diffuse, resolve it, and then restore the situation as much as possible to the original relationship, original pattern of thought, original love, emotion, concern you have for one another. That is what we are going to work with. The approach of most situations, Matthew chapter 18, the approach for most situations on resolving conflict, I didn't say all, but for most, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. This is not appeasing or giving in all the time. It's not for appeasement. It's not for giving in. But here is what the word of God says. Moreover, if thy brother, read with me everybody here. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Are you listening? Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Take only Brother Emmanuel. Come to only Brother Emmanuel. One sister did that many years ago. I loved it. She's sitting in this church. I said something that was out of whack. She didn't understand it. She picked up phone and called me. And said, Brother, I have something I want to discuss. Say, great. And say, she didn't come judging, accusing. She stated what I said. I made it clear within 3 minutes of discussion, we cleared the whole situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She didn't come high and mighty. She didn't call telling me, no, no, no. What is, no. She just said, here is what you said. Here is what I thought you said. No. I said, that's not what the interpretation of what I said is. Here is my point of view of saying it. So at times we stand here, in 30 minutes, 45 minutes, we may say something, and it come across wrong to you. Don't go home sleeping over it and say, it is because of me he said it. If you are getting to that level, call me. And say, here is what I'm thinking, and hopefully I can be able to clear myself. Don't go carrying bitterness. Resolve that conflict God's way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That sister is sitting in the church today. She may remember. I'm not going to call names. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't start shouting it out to everybody. Don't start campaigning over it. Don't start telling everybody. Let it be between two of you. Right? Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your co-worker. Maybe it's a member of your team. Maybe it's somebody you just met. He said, do what? Go to that person first, especially if you are within the bond of Christ, bond of fellowship. If he shall hear thee, you have gained a brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 16. 16. 18, 16, please. But if he will not hear you, then take you one or two more persons. Not just the person you trust, but the person they can also trust. If they are friend with brother OK, take brother OK and take one person for your side. Or you can just call OK friend so that she has even better balance and lay your case before going, think about it, lay your case before them. Don't just be flippant in it. If it's your wife, if it's your brother, if it's your children, whatever, think about it, lay your case. As if you are a lawyer presenting your case to the judge. So that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Established. 17. 17. And he shall neglect to hear you if he doesn't listen. You went 101, he didn't listen. My wife, I've told you about this, you are not listening. I call somebody else to intervene, you are not listening. What do you do now? Say, take it unto the church. Take it unto the church. Now make it open. My husband is doing this. My wife is doing that. And I've tried, I call her attention, she wouldn't listen. I called attention of her friends, and she wouldn't listen to her friends. She didn't want to resolve it. Now it is an open case. Come and judge between me and my wife. Come and judge between me and my husband. Come and judge between me and this brother. Come and judge me between me and this person. You are not wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have reached out. But don't go first and foremost taking this case to everybody. Try between you yourself. Pray before going. Talk to God. Take it serious. A conflict can create bitter roots. And bitter roots can destroy a soul. Go to the last one. We have 18 to what? There's a part that says, if they will not hear you, you can report it to the world. Consider, go back to 16 and 17, please. Okay, but if you will not hear thee, take thee upon you one more, and then mouth of two or three witnesses everywhere, then go to 17. And if shall neglect to hear them, then let it be unto the church. But if shall neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as what? A heathen and a publican. I looked up what is a publican. They are one of the most hated people in the whole world, in the ancient Jews. They are tax collectors. They are not just collecting tax, they are collecting it on behalf of the Roman Empire, who are domineering, who are there, ruling, forcing this Jew nation against everything they believed on. So people in their own Jewish nation are picked to be tax collectors on behalf of the Caesars, on behalf of the Augustus. So they are hated like nothing. And Bible says at this point, you can now go to court. You can find the worst lawyer you can get or the best lawyer you can find out and sue the person and take it to court. You are not out of your realm because you have done what you do. He said, if they neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you, let that person now be unto you as the hidden man and a publican, a hated tax collector. You have within your right to find justice at this point, going into the world. But in the beginning, he said, there's no reason for issue that happens among brethren, among family, man and wife, for you to go to the world for counsel. He said, you have a case, why will you go? Don't you know that even you, the church, will judge angels, will judge the world? And if we are in position to judge the world, and what is it? Say, take the least man among you even. He's able to judge because there is a spirit of God in such person to be able to make things work. And lastly, the goal should be Colossians 3:13. The goal should be Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13. You cannot achieve or resolve conflict without this. It doesn't matter how much you prayed or how much argument or wisdom you have or whatever. At a point, two people have to come to realization that this has to happen for conflict to be resolved. Forbearing what? One another. That means letting go and forgiving one another. Forbearing what? One another. And what? Forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also you do. That is the goal. And that is what we should look into. Now, brethren, we can stand on our feet as we close this part of it. We didn't deal with the practical or the spiritual aspect of resolving conflicts. Some of us have conflict. We don't call brethren. We don't call the pastors. We don't call anybody. We steam and stay in it until it boils over. And before you know it, it has become an emergency situation. It becomes what and what it should be, if only we have worked on it. That is not the right way. Try a godly way to resolve it first. And if it is, don't go to people that you definitely go to a neutral person or go to the friend of that your husband or friend of that your wife that will side with them and lay your case like a lawyer before them and see what they will do. Call them and after that, tell them, give them permission if necessary to speak to my wife. Give them permission if necessary to speak to my husband. Give them permission necessary to speak to pastor. I've tried to talk to this pastor. He's not listening. I want you to intervene. Give them permission if necessary to talk to that worker, that place of work where you are. Say, I can't put up with it again. I need resolution to this. You have my permission. Say that I asked you, talk to them if they will not come face to face. And after that, if it's in the church, you can bring it within the church. And if you have done and the church elders come together and decide this and give condition and make, and you are still laborious, you say, let that person become to you like a heathen or like a republican, hated among the Jews. You are within your right to take the justice anywhere that is within your right. But let us hope that it will be one on one where these issues are resolved. And that is what we are praying. And the only way it can be resolved is if we learn to forbear one another and if we learn to forgive one another. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Forbearing being putting up with, forgiving meaning to let go. That is the only way. Peacemakers have to take initiative. You have to take initiative. The consideration is not retaliation or revenge. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Don't go vengeful, revenging yourself. Leave it, put it in the hand of the Lord. And Bible make it close here as we close. If anybody will offend you, like those repeat offenders, that is, annoys me. Believe me, it annoys me. But the Bible says they come to you 7 times and sin to against you 7 times and still come back and say, man, I'm sorry for what I just said. Okay, Jenny, it's okay, I forgive you. 3-5 minutes after that, she does another one. Oh, man, I did it again. Oh, my God, I still forgive you. And before the day is over, it is like 7 whole times. You feel like choking her or whatever, choking him. The Bible says, say, what? Forgive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That goes with your wife. That goes with your husband. That goes with, if it's me or anybody in this place. If they are humble enough to say, I am sorry, or even make effort, doesn't have to come out sorry. Grab that with your hand immediately. Let us pray. Father, we thank you at this hour. We thank you for this word. Blessed be thy name, Lord. If there is any of your children here, Lord, who have oath against one another, and they are not sure how to resolve it, let this word penetrate into their soul, spirit, and body, Lord. Let them learn from the Holy Spirit what they need to do to resolve it in the mighty name of Jesus. He said that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let our portion be portion of peacemakers in the mighty name of Jesus. Let our portion be a portion of counselors of peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Let their name not take us away from your word. There's conflict, there will always be conflict. But the resolution is from the Lord Almighty. Therefore, give us the grace to be able to resolve conflict God's way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Amen.